if you haven't recognized this accent, it is from America. And
really?
We are.
I'm sure it was an East Londoner thing going on there. Well, there's quite a conflation of cultures here. No cups of tea?
No cups of tea.
No? Okay.
Welcome to Leadership Decanted, where we engage with the latest thinking on all things leadership, and we keep the conversation going over a nice bottle of wine.
KG, great to see you again.
And you, it's an exciting day. It's actually an interesting time in life.
It has been, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot that we have to talk about. But as per usual, let's, before we get into the subject of today, which is going to be an interesting for everyone, let's talk about our wine.
The vino. Okay, ooh, Here's the vino. The vino for this episode is an Angolong 2021 Montepulciano.
Wow, I'm glad you had to say that because I would be toast.
Well, there's quite a conflation of cultures here.
Keep it going.
Yeah, yeah. Let me try to explain. Montepulciano is an Italian grape.
Yeah.
Angolong, I believe, is an indigenous name for a river.
Okay, okay.
That runs along Orange, or the Orange region in New South Wales.
Okay, so this has got
all kinds of things going on.
You know, wow, I love it.
And it's the Angolong Fossil Hill Montepulciano. I recently purchased this at Cellar Door. I was lucky enough to go with my wife and some friends to Orange, and we popped in. Great wines, you know, nothing amazingly sophisticated or expensive, which is a real interesting point. A lot of the wines that are on Cellar Door in Orange tend to be on a little bit on the, shall we say, prestige price side of things.
Yep.
Angolong, very, very affordable and really good, tasty, straightforward wine. So, and the Montepulciano, people doing interesting things with grapes from other regions always interest me. So let's give it a shot.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. And give a shout out to the folks in Orange because
it was good. Thank you, Orange.
Yes. Making it happen.
Here we go. Right, very dark red.
Yes.
Very, very dark, almost maroon purpley.
Smells good, smells good.
That is good.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Not so fruit driven.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel kind of huge and chewy, but it's got some nice, gentle, soft berries.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a little bit of a, almost a drive to the tongue. You know, it's like it kind of sucks it out just a little bit.
Yeah, just the tannins a little bit.
Yeah, yep, but it's very, very nice.
It's very good. And it's got
drinkable,
some nice,
drinkable.
Goes nice all the way down.
As we like it.
Now, before we start,
yes,
we have to correct the record. Actually, no, let me rephrase. We have to correct my record.
What?
We've been doing this now almost 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have been pronouncing our little catchphrase incorrectly all this time.
What catchphrase? What? And I've been repeating it because I'm following you, man.
That's right, that's right. So we've been saying something crazy like Slanger.
Slanger, yeah,
yeah. That's right, that's right. I have been told by very credible sources that I've been mispronouncing it.
What?
I know.
I kind of like that. I thought, no, I'm
it's
on
so
top
embarrassing. Of you. And so now I'm just calling it
you
out
can't
here.
Like just,
I'm
just
it's
cut
right.
That right
I'm opening the kimono and expressing firstly my apologies for the poor cultural appropriation of the language, but also couldn't even appropriate it correctly.
So, first of all, where is Slonjé from?
Celtic / Gaelic.
Gaelic, okay.
And it means more or less, you know, to your health or good health.
Yep.
Sometimes it's paired with another word, which I'm not even going to try and pronounce.
Yeah.
But apparently what we should be saying, and there are some variations.
Yeah.
Well, but what I should be saying, at least approaching a more correct pronunciation is Slonjé.
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 Slonjé, not Slonjé. Okay, that's going to be hard. It doesn't roll off the tongue as well, but we'll get it. Slonjé.
So look.
Slonjé.
Correction. It has now been tabled. Apology been expressed. Humiliation has been experienced.
This is
so
great.
Now everybody, slauncher.
Slauncher.
Slauncher. Slauncher. So that was a good start.
Yes, it was. It was a good start. So then we've got the great wine. We've got a great apology.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what leadership is all about. So today, I know we're in a jovial mood and, you know, maybe we shouldn't be because...
it's probably the wine already.
It is probably the wine. And it's way early for our giggles.
But. Well, we use wine to maybe drain our sorrow.
Yes, yes.
Or our grief.
Our grief. So the world would know the event of recent weeks, and that is the passing of Queen Elizabeth II.
That's right.
So we want to acknowledge that. But also, as far as a subject, talk about legacy. Legacy as leaders, do we have a responsibility to leave a legacy? Is that something that we want, that we desire? And I just thought, let's open it up and talk about legacy of leaders. So first, I have to admit that I don't know much about the royal family.
No.
If you haven't recognized this accent, it is from America.
And really?
We are.
I'm sure it was an East Londoner thing
right.
going on there.
We are learning. I mean, you know, you can say good and bad about the royals, but I think America over the past probably 5 years has gotten a lot more information about the royals than they had for a long, long time. So it's been an interesting time.
Although through very dodgy and dubious channels.
That's right. That's right. It's been interesting. So this being Australia, the passing of the Queen and naming a new king is a huge thing. But for us as leaders, you know, I just thought about the legacy that she has and we all experience from the Queen. What is our position about leadership and leaving a legacy? Is that something we should be striving for? Is it something that just happens and by accident? What do you think?
Great questions, and they are such good questions. I'm going to ask you to answer them first.
Yeah. Oh, I like that deflection. It's good.
Oh, thanks, man. The question of legacy is both an interesting one and a complicated one for me.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just gathering my thoughts here, just trying to work out, you know, what am I going to say, how I'm going to think about it. So as I gather my thoughts, I'll leave the room open to you.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because for me, I think about myself in the last number of years. And I've kind of thought about this thing, this legacy thing, not just from a leadership standpoint, from a personal standpoint. You know, what do I want to pass on? What do I want to leave as something for people to remember about me? Is it the things that I've done in my business life or my work life? Is it the things that I've done in and for my family? What is it that I'm all about? And what do I want to, if I think back or if I think forward to my funeral, what are people going to say about me? And that is the type of legacy that I've been thinking about over a number of years. Maybe it's because I'm old now, and maybe that's why I'm thinking about it. But it is something that I have kind of pondered.
Right.
And I think that for me personally, and this may not be for everyone, that I do want to leave something. And I do want to have a legacy that is a part of who I was on this earth. And think about, I don't want my son especially, to have something that he can hold on to and remember about me.
Right.
And whether that is the things that I've done, which I don't think that will be, but it could be, or the way I've made him feel, those are the things that I try to make sure that I'm conscious of and that I put forward in my day-to-day. And so I think now I've been thinking about that in my leadership life as well. So as I work and as I work with people, do I want to leave something that is that they can feel, or do I just want to do the things that I'm responsible for? So I have been thinking about it.
A couple of things you've mentioned suggest that legacy for you is not necessarily something concrete or material that you leave behind. Yeah. It could be something intangible.
Yeah, yeah. Look, when we were younger and we were, you know, my wife and I, we were doing life insurance and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And we got some advice from a financial planner, and he told us about legacy building. And that was what life insurance was about, was to make sure that, you know, when you pass or when you, if something happens to you, yep. the people in your life are taken care of. And I think, you know, there's some correctness to that. You know, there's a sure, physical
there's,
nature.
There's some
that,
value.
You know, there's some value. But that's not what I'm really thinking about when I'm thinking about legacy building. I'm thinking about making sure that people can hold on to what they felt when you were around. And maybe just possibly do that to the next generation themselves or the next lot of people. You know, making sure that you kind of model how things should be so that, you know, when you're not around, the people who you worked with still do those things or still find it valuable. That's the thinking that I have. Okay.
So if we were to, given that this has been triggered by the last couple of weeks or few weeks in terms of the passing of Queen Elizabeth II and so forth, what do you think, at least from a personal perspective, some of those legacies or legacy, I don't know, is it a plural thing? Is it a collective thing? It's yes. another question.
Fair.
What do you think you hold on to when it comes to that person and that legacy?
The thing that I kind of hold on to as far as the Queen, quite simply, is that steadiness, that steadfast determination. I saw a quote, and I will butcher the quote, but it was something like when she first took on the role, one of the things that she said was that she will lead in service, mm-hmm. long or short,
yes.
and she'll do it, you know, completely, and it's something like that.
Yep.
And I just think that's what the legacy is, you know, there probably isn't an event that I can think of that represents the Queen.
Yeah.
But what I think about when I see her face and the memorial and things is steadiness and that always the same and providing stability, solid ground, someone to look to, all those things. And that's kind of what I see as her legacy. But that's from my standpoint. But, you know.
For me, what you're saying, and I'm, you know, my mind is beginning to start making some connections here. You've just made a point. This is what it was for me. So that suggests to me that I wonder if, and clearly this is a small sample,
yeah.
but I wonder if we extrapolate that, if legacy is also a personal thing, not just a collective or cultural thing. So maybe there's a collective or cultural legacy, but there's also a personal legacy that could be considered that someone leaves behind.
Be different for different people because they have different perspectives on the impact.
And let's face it, very few people really knew this person.
Yeah.
Right. So whatever it is that we feel she's left behind that we might have a personal connection to, most of that is either perception or projection.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's okay. It's still legitimate because it is still our experience. But nevertheless, we can't attribute personal knowledge of the person to the legacy.
Yeah, I didn't hang out with her.
Yeah. No cups of tea?
No cups of tea.
Okay. Didn't walk the corgis?
No.
Okay. But the other thing you mentioned earlier when you talked about that quote was that often we think about legacy, about what people leave behind. And I think the Queen's an interesting one because, I mean, you know, her life was documented from the time she was born.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 96 years.
Yes, the camera's always
in the
there.
Media spotlight.
That's
96
right.
years. No one has any clue what that's about.
Yeah.
You know, so we're making a whole bunch of assumptions. But what I find interesting is that when she was 25 and she made that quote, she made it when her dad died and then she had to make a speech.
Yeah.
She made a promise. And now we're saying, you know, we're harking back to that promise or that commitment. And we're saying, oh, you know what? She probably kept it.
Yeah, she did
probably
that.
Kept that for 70 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a level of integrity. It's not just what she did with her service.
Yeah.
It's that she committed to it and she delivered. And there's a sense of integrity. Now, what makes it astonishing in my view is the fact that that steadfastness that you speak of, that was 70 years in the making.
Yeah.
That's a long time. I mean, who do we know as leaders, you know, whether it's corporate leaders, captains of industry, whether it's political leaders, who else has been around? Maybe the Dalai Lama?
Yeah, maybe. But
that's a different, is that a different thing? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. It's quite unique. And the fact that I attribute that steadiness or that steadfastness to what I view as her legacy. Like you said, it's built over time, you know.
Yeah.
There could have been a moment, a blip in between there that, you know, did not show that.
Yeah.
But I look at the overall picture, you know, the thing as a whole, you know, the person as a whole. And that's what I feel.
Yep.
And, you know, there'll be people who argue that remember this moment.
Certainly.
And all that
and
kind
there
of stuff.
Are moments, there are slithers of point in time that people look to and say, look, it was a misstep.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
she did the wrong thing. And fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think about myself, right? I've got lots and lots of moments where what I want to give to people is not what I've given to people, you know,
sure.
and I think we all have that. But I think if you look at someone and look at who they are and what their legacy would be as leaders, we have to look at the body of work and what that feels like. And I know that if something is personal to you, you have a hard time getting past those moments that were not exactly exemplary. But I think generally, that's what we should be doing is looking at their full body of work, knowing that everybody slips and everybody does these things that wouldn't necessarily be the thing that they would, you know, champion for life. But overall, you look at her, I'd say, yeah, she did that.
Would you give her an A plus?
Yes, I would. Oh. And again, it's me being, you know, I won't say an outsider, you know, I'm in Australia, so, you know, we're all about the Queen, but that's what I see.
Yeah.
And let me ask you, what do you see? What did you see out of this whole?
Oh, look, this is such an interesting topic because even though I think for me the topic or issue of legacy is quite a complex one and you can come at it, and I'm sure we will, in many ways.
Yeah.
I think, interestingly, talking about or framing the work of the Queen and her legacy is actually easier than it would be for folk who are not superhuman.
Yeah, right? That's
or
right.
Or surreal
or
have
70,
some sort of
70 some odd years.
Yeah, or have some sort of meta position in life.
That's right.
I mean, her narrative around service was clear for her from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And even during World War II, she, you know, before she was Queen, when she was Princess, she volunteered, was trained as a mechanic in World War II. So there was a sense of service very early on. Now, whether or not that was something that was kind of imposed because of her station or whether it's something that she really sought and connected with, I don't know.
Yeah.
But her purpose, as she stated very clearly very early on, was service. So for me, what connects her legacy, what we might call legacy, with her is the fact that of that alignment to not only that commitment that we talked earlier on, but her purpose of service.
Yeah.
I'm wondering whether the reason why legacy is a bit more difficult for maybe other leaders or other heads of state is that purpose isn't always clear.
Yeah.
Or perhaps purpose might shift and wane depending on the appetite of the democracy at hand or the people or the culture or whatever it might be or the demands of an economy. And so people kind of flip-flop all over the place. And therefore, it doesn't seem like there's a clear narrative thread over their purpose. And therefore, I'm wondering whether their legacy is a little bit more patchy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's harder to define, right? Because there's no singular thing that goes throughout someone's life. And I think you're right that us as regular leaders, you know, regular people,
folk.
Yeah, regular folk who don't, you know, have a high position that is on the news every day, we have a little more difficult time describing our own purpose quite often.
Yep.
And therefore, it may be harder for others to see what that legacy would be at this point. But I think that's okay because I think as leaders, we know that we're still traveling through that, right? Or, you know, I say leaders, but as people, we know we're still traveling through and learning new things and growing and changing and evolving and morphing. And maybe that does change over time. And that means that we've left a different legacy at different times of our lives, because maybe the people you impacted 10 years ago will still look to those moments that you had with them 10 years ago, and you've moved on, but they still remember it. And maybe it's something that they hold on to and they have learned from and actually built a life on.
Yep.
Versus you personally, you've moved on to doing new and different and potentially other things that may be serving you and your purpose right now. So I think you know, it is okay that we don't have a single thread that goes all the way through, but it is it makes it more difficult. You're right.
And of course, I'm making an assumption. Clearly, Queen Elizabeth, you know, she didn't land in her role as a fully formed, fully evolved human being. Yes. Clearly, she also evolved, which suggests, but maybe at a personal level, she was finding her way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that would be perfectly legit. We just don't know what that was, or very few people know what that process or that journey may have looked like.
Yeah.
Right. But the other thing you point out is also, you know, legacies being different in different points in time, even though you might be the same person, you might be this, you know, offering the same or different types of leadership. You talk about what people remember, right?
Yeah.
So this suggests to me once again that legacy is such a broad concept, such a broad phenomena.
Yeah, yeah.
That it involves not only things you leave behind physically, because, you know, maybe you built a hospital and the hospital is your legacy, and
that's
really
right.
tangible and literally concrete and so forth. But you're also leaving behind memories of people's encounters, interactions, which is what we've been seeing a lot of, especially in the initial days after the news of the Queen's passing. People just on the street were saying how much, you know, what they were saying is mostly two things: what they remembered of her and how they felt about her.
Yeah, that's right.
In very few cases did they say, oh, she left me this, which is a physical thing.
Yeah.
And it was also about, oh, she felt like, you know, felt like this, and I remember this about her, and I remember this conversation that we had.
Yeah.
And even people who met her, heads of state or our prime ministers who met with her, they would talk about conversations and how funny she was and how they remember that and how it made them feel. So emotion and memory clearly have a place in this thing of called that we call legacy.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, it kind of reminds me, I don't even know if this is a real quote or if it's a tribute to anybody, but you may have heard this quote: people do not remember what you say, they remember how you make them feel.
Yeah, yeah, Maya Angelou quote, yeah.
Is it? Right, okay, great. So it's a real quote then.
Yeah.
Great.
And you're really close, that's good.
Yeah, thanks, man. That's legacy then.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's legacy. Yeah. And it may not have any material worth, or it may not be measurable materially, but clearly it has resonance.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you do with that, though?
That's why I think the question is interesting, because I don't know if we necessarily can plan to build a legacy. Because I don't know if there's anything you can do with it. I think you can only do your best and make steps towards doing the best you can. And the hope is that you are thinking about yourself in a way that, you know, you want to impact people in a positive way. I think that's really the only way you can hope to build legacy, is to try to impact people in a positive way. And what they hold on to, what they grab, what they feel is always going to be different. And you can't control that.
Yeah.
But you can try to be a part of that process and, you know, hope that it lands in your favor. Yeah. That's the thing.
I mean, and interestingly, my question, what do you do with that, betrays a certain framework, I guess, a utilitarian framework.
Yeah.
Is that somehow a legacy has to have a particular type of worth,
yeah,
or a particular type of value? So I've just caught myself saying that and realized, oh, hang on, you know, the question, what do you do with it, is really can be a facile question.
Yeah.
Because in the same way that you don't necessarily go out and consciously, deliberately build or curate a legacy, you don't curate a legacy like you do an Instagram feed, then its worth cannot be judged in the here and now. Perhaps maybe its worth is what it is to those people that remember you, or it is what it is to those people who remember how you make them feel. And of course, in some cases there might be some tangible worth if your legacy is inventing a vaccine.
That's right.
Or there are so many different types of legacy, I guess, that we're considering here. Feels a little bit overwhelming in terms of wondering, well, what do people who are not kings and queens or heads of state, but who are practicing leadership at the much more sort of human stratospheres?
Yeah, the everyday level.
At the everyday
right?
level.
Yeah.
What do we do, or what? How do we think about legacy, and how does legacy not become a self-serving, narcissistic, ego-driven drive?
Yeah, yeah. How do you keep from over subscribing to that, trying to create a legacy versus doing something that is, serving, right?
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing sometimes because, again, for us as regular people, there is something that we want to... So I have a want. This is me, right? I have a want to leave a legacy.
Yeah.
So I'm already in an odd position, right? Because I do want to, but do I try or do I not try and hope that I leave a legacy?
So what do you think is odd about you wanting to leave a legacy? What's odd about that?
I think it's odd only because I'd never thought about it for a long time.
Right.
I just lived and, you know, you just kind of do your thing and not care. And I'll say that, you know, I don't mean it callously, but I didn't necessarily care about the future or where what I've done would impact other people. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, again, I just didn't think about it. It wasn't anything that was on my mind. So I think it feels odd now to even think that way, that I am now taking steps to do things mm-hmm. that could be a part of my legacy.
Right.
And if I take the book as an example,
yeah,
it's something that no matter what, it's there. I've done it. I've written the words.
Yep, sure have.
They sit on a page, and good or bad, it's going to be there forever.
Yeah.
And so those things I consciously thought about. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. It's part of my legacy, again, good or bad. But there are other things that I do day to day that when I try to compare whether I should spend time on them or how much effort I should put into them and so forth, I kind of say, is this going to be of value to me long term or to my, you know? And so I just think differently a little bit now.
Yeah, as you talk, I think there's one word that is helping me bring it together or crystallize it, and that is impact.
Yeah.
I wonder whether the word or the way that I come across or think about legacy is what impact do I want to have?
Yeah.
And so the impact that I wish to have, maybe that's bit more in my control.
Yeah.
Whereas the legacy I leave is up to others to decide.
Yeah, because they will interpret that, right? Yeah. That impact.
That's right. So I want to have an impact. Part of my business mantra, as you know, in my business is I want to help teams and leaders be better.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Now, that's the impact I want to have.
Yeah.
Firstly, what better means, who knows, right? Yeah. It means different things for different people, different teams, different leaders. Now, the legacy of that, I guess, is that beyond my control? Is that a thing, even though I want to leave a positive legacy, is that something that I can control, or is that something that's really going to be up to others to decide?
Yeah, I kind of think it's both, right? Because your want is to make a positive impact. So
yes,
you do have a control mechanism there. You're trying to make it a positive impact. How others receive it, out of our control and out of your control. And so I agree, there's parts of it, right? And you can't predict how they'll receive it or how they'll hold on to it or if they will remember it long past the engagement.
Suggests even more, I mean, I'm really finding this very interesting conversation. What I'm thinking about now is that there is no linearity, right, or no clear logic to legacy, to creating a legacy.
Yeah.
A lot of the work that we do, a lot of the leadership work, a lot of the interactive work that we do, whether in corporate or not for profit, doesn't really matter. Whenever there are groups of people that are sharing leadership or experiencing leadership, it's very emergent.
Yeah.
And therefore, it suggests to me that even though I might have a drive to make an impact, that legacy is as much accidental as it is conscious.
That's right.
So it's an accidental legacy.
Like, it just happens. That's like, right. Yes, it happens.
In some cases, it may, you know, people who create amazing inventions, right? People who dedicate their lives to a particular type of service or serving community, which is another thing that keeps coming up. It's about service. It's about impact.
Yeah.
People who spend their lives in scientific research and how to cure diseases, and people who, you know, is it Jonas Salk who created the vaccine for polio, maybe? I can't quite remember it. Yeah, even the person that creates those amazing things, they have a drive, and often the invention or the discovery is kind of a mixture of accident but also drive.
Yeah.
You know, it's that thing about it takes 10 decades for overnight success.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sort of, so you kind of all of a sudden you find it, and then that lives on, that vaccine lives on, and you're remembered, or your name is attached to that discovery that helps humankind. that itself is accidental in a sense. It's both. It has that combination of somebody wanting to serve and wanting to find this cure and then finding it.
Yeah.
But then people valuing it differently or people ascribing something. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here in that the notion of legacy can't be in the control of the person who wants to create it.
Yeah. Yeah. It has a lot of different variables that will contribute to whether it becomes a person's legacy. And when you were describing it with impact and service and things like that, and the only thing I can say with legacy is I'd say it has an over time element as well.
Right.
So because only time will tell whether or not there is a lasting impact.
Yes.
And that, I don't know what the definition of legacy is. We'll have to look it up.
Well, I think we're making our own here. I think we're writing. Yes, it's right. A sense of how people perceive and remember the impact you had over time
that's
service to something greater than yourself.
I think that is the definition.
Is it? I just made that up.
We should
check it out. Yeah. That seems to be what we're talking about. Yeah. Now, it may not be the accepted or common definition.
Yeah,
I don't know. I like it. But I think also the fact that the time element is interesting because people who, leaders or people who create something very quickly, very fast, you wonder whether they're remembered for that or whether it's too fleeting for the collective memory.
Yeah, yeah. It's true because some things come and go and could have been, smashing success, but it's come and gone. And so is that part of their legacy or is it not, or are people going to just kind of say, no, don't recall that.
Yeah.
Oh, did that happen?
maybe there's an equivalent of one hit wonders for legacy.
For legacy.
You have a very short shelf life.
Yes.
Great at the time.
I think I've done that a lot.
They're just a one hit wonder on the legacy thing. Right, so where are we with this legacy in terms of what we are faced with in the everyday as leaders?
Yeah, I think, the truth is that we all have the opportunity to try to create a legacy.
Yeah.
But as you rightfully say, we may not be able to control whether or not it lands as a legacy or is perceived as our legacy.
So what's the best we can do?
The best we can do is do what we can to create that positive impact.
I guess the best we can do is the best we can do.
Yeah, that's it. They'll just try. That's it. I love it.
So if you come into it with knowing that you want to have an impact and a positive impact and working on something that's bigger than yourself at the service of others with integrity.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
right? With integrity,
that's
with a sense of ensuring that you have alignment between what you've promised and what you're delivering, or at least what you're heading towards.
Yeah.
That might just create a memory.
Yeah.
Right. Or an impact or a perception that hopefully isn't just a one hit wonder.
Yeah.
But shapes, whether it's generations or families or people, friends, loved ones, shapes them in a way that, I don't know, maybe it's a more positive presence in the world or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, as you can see, listeners, we are not experts in this legacy thing.
No.
But we thought it would be a very interesting, given what we've been seeing in the last couple of weeks and what's out there in the public discourse, we thought it would be a good conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And the question is, what are you doing? Are you doing anything, personally for creating a legacy? Do you feel like you're creating that?
Tell us.
Give us your comments.
Tell us how wrong you were.
Yes.
Tell us how ridiculous this conversation was.
That's the real definition.
And how we missed the whole point. We're happy to that.
Yes. Oh, good. Oh, good.
But on that note, I have to say this wonderful wine.
Yes.
The Angolan Montepulciano, Fossil Hill Montepulciano, is exquisite.
It is. It's
very nice wine.
Easy to drink, I tell you.
So, without screwing it up this time.
Okay, you're going to get it right. Let's do it.
Maybe. KG.
I will repeat.
Listeners. Sláinte.
Sláinte.
That's it for our show today. If you liked what you heard, if you liked our conversation, if you want to hear more, please rate us, review us, subscribe. Tell your friends, your family, your enemies, everyone you know. As always, we'd like to hear your feedback about any particular leadership topic you'd like to hear about or want us to explore. Please let us know by reaching out to us at askus@leadershipdecanted.com. That's askus@leadershipdecanted.com. You can also leave your comments and suggestions at our website, at leadershipdecanted.com. We really appreciate your time and comments. Thanks for listening, and come back next time.